Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the post-DPW convention Monday edition. We got a fine Dem joining us a little bit later in the hour. Attorney General Josh Call joins today at 4:30 live via Zoom. Abortion is now illegal in the state of Wisconsin, and I've heard the governor and I heard the attorney general, and they said, we're going to do everything we can do. And that means very, very little. And it's not because they don't have the want. They just don't have the means to do much about it. And here in the state of Wisconsin, the legislature has been gerrymandered to the point where there will be no legislative will to solve this 173-year-old anti-abortion law that now is the law of the land in the state where I live. You can't get it done through the legislature. You got damn near two-thirds Republican majorities, regardless of the votes of the people. Republicans win larger and larger majorities because that's the way the maps are set up to bake the cake for their ongoing, forever, perpetual electoral advantage. Now, I take some issue with that, but that is the facts on the ground. The only way you're going to change this or solve this problem is with a congressional, a federal level legislative majority, and you need a couple more seats, you know, over on the Senate side for sure-sies, because you got to overcome the filibuster. You need like 52. You got to go overcome the Manchin and the Sinema filibuster. We'll perhaps talk a little more about the disaster looming thanks to Joe Manchin. But I want to turn my attention to the J6 hearing number 6, unexpectedly scheduled for tomorrow at high noon. We're going to play him live. But here are the early comments about the importance of this. The headline here at the Raw Story, one of my favorite sources. This is big. Former Senator, in this case, Claire McCaskill, explains why the J6 committee might have scheduled a last-minute hearing. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6 attack on the U.S. Congress revealed that they're holding an unexpected hearing tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 o'clock Central. According to former Senator Claire McCaskill, Dem from Missouri, this ain't normal, and it likely means there's something significant happening. Please let her be right. Please let her be right. Here's the quote. They've done a very good job exceeding expectations, so I don't think they'll want to upset that track record. She began speaking to MSNBC's Nicole Wallace on Monday. So you have to assume this is big, because I will tell you one thing I know for sure, having spent a lot of time in D.C., members of Congress don't show up 3 days before the 4th of July weekend for just anything. McCaskill went on to explain that there are only a few reasons that a committee would rush to get someone to testify the way that they are. This is either a witness that for some, because of a frailty, an illness, maybe perhaps they're not sure of their ability to appear later, or probably much more likely that Mike Schmidt just said, they're saying they'll do it now, but they're reluctant. So there is an effort to make sure they capture the live testimony while the iron is hot, while the witness says they will do it, because they've had a lot of witnesses who have refused to give live testimony. I'm hoping it's videotape of the Trump kids, you know, hot off the presses. That's what I'm hoping for. Again, Claire McCaskill being quoted here, though, apparently, you know, U.S. Senator makes you more important than Crudy. So I think that's probably what it is. Now, this is the one time as a prosecutor, I'm jealous of the committee members, because obviously You cannot put a witness on the other side that the other side doesn't know about in a real trial. Surprise witnesses are only in rebuttal. And then the other side has to have opened the door. So I think this will pique interest with all of us. And I don't think they would be piquing interest if they didn't think they could deliver something. Oh, they better be delivering. Bring home the bacon, J6 committee. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, which brings us back to a thought about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Now, Rojo was featured in the J6, the live committee testimony the other day, was he not?
No, he wasn't.
Something about
but he was
handing off some electors to the vice president. I wanted to do so personally. Didn't you hear something about that, Fancy Brian?
Yeah, he wanted to.
I'm sorry, man. Someone's got to turn on the mics.
Yeah, he was there, but then he wasn't there, but then he was there, but then he wasn't there. But it was real, but it wasn't real. It happened, but it didn't happen. It was only 2 minutes. A lot of things can happen in 2 minutes. Like, you know.
I conceived a couple of my kids in 2 minutes or less. I feel pretty confident. You know, there's an interesting story over at CNN today. The headline here, this Republican senator keeps changing his story on the fake elector scheme. I think they mean Rojo. Chris Saliza, CNN editor-at-large, reporting. Ron Johnson just can't get his story straight. Last week, in a hearing of the J6 committee, we learned that Johnson's chief of staff had attempted to coordinate the handoff of a slate of fake electors from Michigan and Wisconsin to Vice President Mike Pence. Now, Pence's head of legislative affairs put the kibosh on the move before it ever happened. Said, no, thank you. Don't deliver to the vice president these fraudulent fake Trump electors. So anyways, Saliza writes on. Asked about his involvement, Johnson, a Republican senator from Wisconsin, said that he knew nothing about it.
Yeah, I was not involved in this at all.
Because it's important. Here's the full exchange on Tuesday afternoon between Johnson, CNN's Manu Raju, and other reporters. These things were delivered to our office. I didn't know they were coming. I had no hand in it. My staff, my chief of staff, did the right thing. He called up the vice president. No, is that the right thing, Ron? This letter that you have delivered from somebody and you don't know who, but it comes and it's addressed to the VP, and you think the right thing to do is to hand it off to the VP, because, of course, that is your proposed action. You texted, right? He didn't want it. We didn't send it to him. End of story. Big nothing burger, right, Fancy? Manu Raju, why did you just deliver that to the vice president without vetting it or asking more questions about it? Yes, that's a fine question. Manu, I had, you know, similar questions. But you got to be careful. Curiosity kills the cat, right? Johnson, I didn't deliver it. We called them up. He didn't want it. We didn't deliver it. End of story. That's his second end of story in this story. But why did you even offer it without vetting it? Raju asked. Now, Rojo's response. Well, we got handed an envelope that was supposed to go to the vice president. I didn't know, so we called. We called up the vice president. He didn't want it. We didn't deliver it. It's a non-story. Guys, this is such a non-story. So two ends of end of stories, and now two non-stories. Was that the first you had heard of it when you received the envelope? Yeah. And who, do you remember? Who gave it to you? No, it was a staff-to-staff deal. I mean, it apparently had Michigan and Wisconsin. I had no hand in any of it. Again, this lasted a couple minutes in our office. Then the episode was over. And this, guys, is a total non-story. So we've got two end of stories, two non-stories, and a total non-story. One conversation. Raju, are you going to ask your aides about who this person was? Have you asked? We didn't know. Literally don't. It was staff to staff. Somebody from the house, some staff intern, you know, and said, we got it, and the vice president needs this or whatever. I wasn't involved. I don't know what they said. But somebody from the... Three butts. You know Ron's about to lie when he lays out three consecutive butts. But somebody from the House delivered it to a staff member in my office. my chief of staff called the vice president. Hey, we got this. And the vice president said, don't deliver it. And we didn't. You know, the one thing conspicuous by its absence. End of story. He didn't say it in this paragraph.
The story goes on.
Raju, are you curious about the identity of this person? Do you want to ask about it? Johnson, no, because there's no conspiracy here. This is a complete non-story, guys. Complete non-story. We're up to, what, 3, 4, 5 non-stories and a total non-story and 2 end of stories. So we're up to 8 end of story sort of denials.
And he's calling people guys. That's how he brought you guys in. Hey, guys, boys.
So at this point, Saliza jumps back in. So according to Johnson, a staff intern from the House somehow got a hold of a fake slate of electors from 2 key swing states and was trying to pass them to the vice president of the United States. Johnson, in this retelling, was wholly uninvolved. Except, well, Johnson's story started to change as the week went on. By Thursday, Johnson said the fake elector slates had come from the office of Pennsylvania Rep. Mike Kelly. And Johnson also acknowledged in an interview with a local radio station, Righty Whitey Icky Vicky, right, that he had coordinated via text message with his chief of staff and Dane County Attorney Jim Troupas to make sure Pence got Wisconsin's fake elector slate. But wait, there's more. Kelly's office told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the congressman had not spoken to Ron Johnson for the better part of a decade and has no knowledge of the claims Mr. Johnson is making related to the 2020 election. And hence the, as Chris Alyssa describes it, the Grand Canyon-sized gap between Johnson's initial explanation and his second story. And the story, I think it's continued to evolve. So I'm going to need a second segment just to get all the moving parts in. Ron Johnson, you know, keep your story straight. If you're going to commit, you know, let's just say attempted traitorous, treasonous insurrection against the United States, if you're going to, you know, co-conspirator in a plot, a coup plot, you better have your alibi. You know what I mean? You better have it worked out before you start telling Manu Raju or even Icky Vicky. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
Yeah, I was not involved in this at all.
You big dummy.
Why don't you just leave me alone?